Good morning. Today we end our short series on confession. We've noted the genuine confession of Jesus leads to our salvation, and that if we will confess our sins, acknowledge Him, He will forgive us. I want to take our thoughts today from a man who confessed his sins and enjoyed a special relationship with God because of that confession. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. It was first-degree adultery. It was not in a moment of passion, but was planned and premeditated. And it didn't stop with adultery. When Bathsheba told David she was pregnant, he started planning another sin, a cover-up of what they had done. The cover-up went like this. He brought Uriah home. Uriah was Bathsheba's husband who was fighting on the front lines. David thought that he would go home to his wife and the child would look legitimate in every way. One thing was wrong. Uriah would not go home but slept on the palace steps. David even got him drunk, but still he refused to be with his wife. When asked why, he said that it wasn't right for him to enjoy his wife while his fellow soldiers were fighting for their lives. What an upright man of integrity. But David would fix it. Mad and frustrated, David sent a letter to his frontline general, Joab, telling him to place Uriah on the front lines, and if the enemy didn't kill him in the battle, to withdraw his troops from either side of Uriah so he would be an easy or sure target for the enemy. It happened just that way. General Joab obeyed, and Uriah died. Now, David is guilty of premeditated adultery, lying in the attempted cover-up, and murder, giving the direct order that would take Uriah's life. I'm sure that David thought no one knew about his sin, but David did, and God did. So God sends the prophet Nathan to tell David a parable. It went like this. There were two men who lived in a certain city. One was very rich, one was very poor. The rich man had flocks and herds in abundance. He had his heart's desire daily. The poor man had hardly anything. He did, however, have one little ewe lamb, which he treated like one of his own family. He kept it right in the yard, fed it in the house. But one day the rich man had company and wanted to have a feast, but he didn't want to kill one of his own fat lambs. But he stole and slaughtered the little ewe lamb from the yard of his neighbor. David was so mad he could hardly see. If you'll tell me who this man was, I'll have him killed. But before he dies, he'll make full restitution. And the prophet replied, David, you are the man. I believe Psalm 51 was written as David contemplated his sin and his relationship with God. In verse 10, David pleads for God to renew his spirit within. I don't think there's any one of us that does not desire this same kind of spiritual renewal. We want to be right with God. What must we do to experience spiritual renewal within? We are looking to find genuine biblical confession and the resulting joy it brings. First, we must be willing to acknowledge the sin in our lives. It is so easy for us to become callous to our own sin. We've involved ourselves in them so long that we no longer feel the guilt. The Hebrew writer says, "It is possible to sear our hearts like with a hot iron." It's like walking into a dark theater. When you first enter the auditorium, you can't see a thing, but before long, the eyes adjust and we see pretty good. It's like placing a frog in warm water and slowly turning up the heat. He becomes comfortable with his environment until he is literally boiled alive. Listen to me, friends. Some of us are literally being boiled alive in our own private sins because we have become comfortable in them. Remember the progression. I'd never do that. Well, one time never hurt. I did it, and the world didn't end. It must not be so bad. And then the acceptance. And then we can do the sin over and over and over again, and it never pricks our conscience. But David was willing to meet his sin head on. He named it. He confessed it. No rationalization. No excuses. No calling the sin something else. David says, "I know my transgressions, and they are against you, O God." David knew his sins, and we know ours. I certainly know mine. Will we be like David and confess them, name them, to God and to ourselves? Secondly, notice how David takes personal responsibility for his sins. Look at verses 2 and 3. "My sin, my transgression, my iniquity. David claims responsibility for his own sin guilt. David doesn't blame his sin on anyone or anything. Not his culture, not his upbringing, not his genetics, not his friends or his enemies. I have sinned against you, Lord, and it is my fault, my transgressions. Are we willing to do this? Willing to take the responsibility for our own behavior? We must if we are ever to confess our sins as God would have us do. Number 3, there can be no relationship with God without repentance. Just a verbal confession of sin is not enough, is it? Genuine biblical confession must be from the heart. We must acknowledge our sin, take full responsibility for our behavior, then repent. Determined to change our thinking and actions, a commitment to change. We can't read this chapter without feeling the deep remorse, the broken contrite heart, the profound sorrow, the I don't have the resources to help myself, I need God. David is sorry for his sin, not because of the consequences of his sinful behavior, but because he has failed to be the person God wants him to be. Judas was sorry for his betrayal of Jesus. He tried to give the money back to the Jewish officials. Judas wanted the consequences to go away. He wanted the Sanhedrin to fix it for him. But there was no genuine repentance. There was no broken, contrite heart, because he had failed God. No genuine biblical confession, no resulting joy for Judas, only death. Perhaps the best example of repentance is offered by Jesus himself when the woman taken in adultery was brought to him. Remember what he said? Go your way. And what? Sin no more. Repentance is a change in mind that results in a change of action. Repentance is a change of heart that is so intense that it results in a change of behavior. Repentance is a change in principles that results in a change in practice. Friends, God is looking for a confession filled with repentance. Next, we see the forgiveness that follows genuine repentance. Look at verses 7 through 12. David pleads with God, cleanse me with hyssop, wash me whiter than snow, give me back my joy and gladness, blot out my iniquity, create a pure heart within me, let me feel your presence, restore the joy of your salvation. Give me a willing spirit, sustain me. Friends, this man is hurting. This is one who is poor in spirit, mourning his own sin, and is humbling himself in the meekness necessary for complete obedience to God. And God replies with total forgiveness. This results in a peace that is beyond human understanding. God loves to forgive. How do I know? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? To forgive. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Note what comes after forgiveness. Action. Read verse 13, 14, and 15. I will teach transgressors your ways. My tongue will sing of your righteousness. My lips will declare your praise. Experiencing forgiveness of our sins always leads to testimony. Remember the demonic who was healed of his demon possession? Mark tells us that he was found in the Decapolis. Doing what? Telling others about Jesus and what great things he had done for him. Listen to me. Do you know how to tell if an individual is daily confessing their sins to God? Just listen to them. People who complain, criticize, fuss and bicker about life, about their situation and circumstances, are not on a right relationship with God. But those who are rejoicing, praising God, and telling others of His love and grace are experiencing forgiveness every day, moment by moment. They can't help but tell others by word and deed that God is good. You can spot them a mile off. Paul says the love of God compels us, and indeed it does. When we confess our sins, worship takes on new meaning. Note verses 15 through 19. David says, sacrifices mean nothing if it is not done out of a purified and cleansed heart. Only then will the ceremony of worship take on new joy and meaning. Can I say this? If we're coming to worship and going home empty, it may not be the song service, it may not be the sermon or the prayers, but perhaps it is because we have some sins we need to confess. Finally, then, we want to know the joy of genuine forgiveness. Listen to Psalm 32, verse number 1 beginning. Blessed, happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged. I confessed my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive the guilt of my sin. The challenge of David today is to genuine biblical confession and its resulting joy. It can be yours through faith. Jesus says, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then repent, change your life around. Jesus says, except you repent, you'll perish, Luke 13:3. And then New Testament baptism. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.